Well, good evening to everyone. It's been pointed out by my wife several times and by others that I speak kind of softly. Can everybody hear me okay? So I'd like to thank everyone for the opportunity to bring you a lesson this evening from the Book of Ruth. It was suggested back when we started our study of Judges that someone could maybe bring a lesson. And the way I'm going to approach this tonight is to kind of let Ruth speak for herself. I'm going to tell you the story. There will be a few things for you to watch for. There's lots of lessons out of the Book of Ruth, but I'm going to concentrate on a few things tonight. And it's going to be loyal love, belief and obedience to God, and redemption. Like I said, there are lots of other lessons that you can get out of that book, but we're going to just look for some of those points as we go through them. So the setting of the story, it's in the same time period as Judges. It's a great time of upheaval in Israel. It's a time of peace at this particular point, though, between Israel and Moab. And if you contrast that with Judges 3:12 through 30, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's also a period that's among the worst in Israel's history. The last five chapters of Judges chronicle some of the ugliest stories that are ever told in the Bible. And no enemy does this to Israel. She does it to herself. The time of the writing of this book, I couldn't come up with a good date for it. Some Jewish traditions say that it was written by Samuel, but it was assuredly written later than that because of the references to David in Ruth 4:17 and 22. So, looking through the story as I read over it, I looked at all the different characters that were in the story, and noticed that some of the names, what some of the Hebrew meanings were for the names in there. So, I'm going to give you a brief, just who the characters are and what the Hebrew meanings for the names are. And then we'll go ahead and get into the lesson. So Elimelech, the meaning, Hebrew meaning for that is my God is king. Naomi, his wife, means my delight. Mahlon, one of the sons of Elimelech and Naomi, means sick. Chilion means weakening or pining. That was another son of Elimelech and Naomi. Orpha means gazelle. That was one of the wives of the two sons. Ruth means friendship or friend. And Boaz means fleetness or strength is in him, or he comes in strength. And finally, Obed means serving or servant. Just found some of those definitions of the names interesting. So at the time that this book is set, there's famine in the land of Israel. Elimelech begins a sojourn with his family from Bethlehem to the land of Moab. And there's Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion. And sojourn means that they were never planning on staying there permanently. They were just there for the length of the famine until things could get better. They were also known as Ephrathites because Bethlehem was previously called Ephrath. This is the same Bethlehem that Jesus will come from later on. Now, Elimelech dies upon arriving, and Mahlon marries a Moabite Ruth. We find that in Ruth 4:10. Chilion marries a Moabite woman, Orpha. 10 years pass, and both sons pass away, Mahlon and Chilion. Naomi decides to return to Bethlehem because she hears that the famine is broken. And initially, her daughter-in-law set out to go with her. She urges Ruth and Orpha to stay with their families. Ruth can offer no inheritance. I'd like to read that right quick. It's 1:12 and 13. Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you. For the land of the Lord has gone forth against me. She can't offer any kind of an inheritance to these two ladies. But of the two women, Ruth decides to return with her. She declares her loyalty to Naomi, and she declares her obedience to God. And we'll read about that a little bit later. Now, Naomi was bitter upon returning because of the death of her family. And she wanted people to call her Mara, which means bitter, because God, she felt like, had dealt harshly with her. And we're told that they arrive at the beginning of the barley harvest. It's in 1:22. Ruth meets Boaz. Ruth asks for Naomi's permission to glean wheat in Boaz's field. She finds out that that Boaz is a distant relative. And evidently, they were both very poor. Gleaning was commanded under the Mosaic Law that the poor, aliens, widows, and fatherless could be able to glean what was left after the harvest to provide for their food needs. And something else that should be mentioned at this point is that widows in this society, and not just Jewish society or Israel society, but society in general, if they didn't have someone, a man that could take care of them, were really almost like homeless people. It was a very tough life for them. So as Ruth is gleaning, Boaz notices her in the fields, and he's heard of the story, and he tells her to stay close to his fields for protection, because remember, the time period we're talking about here, it's not safe for people. So he wants her to remain close to his fields so that she can be under some kind of protection. She's grateful, and she's also confused at Boaz's favor. Boaz has heard of her loyalty to Naomi and how much she has helped her. And she has demonstrated that loyal love that I talked about a minute ago. Boaz tells her that she's come under the protection of the wings of the God of Israel. That's given in 2:12. And he commands his servants to leave even more grain than what they would normally have to leave for Ruth as she gleans in the field. Ruth shows Naomi the extra grain and tells her the story of Boaz's kindness. And Naomi praises God for Boaz's kindness. Naomi tells Ruth of the relationship of Boaz, and she advises Ruth to stay close to Boaz's fields. Now, Naomi was determined to seek security for Ruth. This is in 3:1. And she advises Ruth to wear her best and to go where Boaz is winnowing barley and celebrating. She is to wait until Boaz is asleep and to go in and uncover his feet and to lay down at his feet. When Boaz awakes, he finds Ruth there at his feet. And Ruth asks her to take her under his wing since he is a close relative. That's given in 3:8. Now Boaz understands what this means, that this is a marriage proposal and a plea for redemption of Naomi. He praises Ruth for not seeking younger men. And he tells her of a closer relative who, by law, has first obligation to fulfill that need. But he also tells her that he'll redeem her if the other one doesn't. So he reassures her at this point, I will not rest until the issue of redemption is settled. That's in 3:18. So Boaz arranges a meeting at the gate of the other relative and 10 elders to discuss the redemption of Ruth and Naomi. That's in 4:1 and 4:2. And Boaz tells the other relative of the need for redemption for Elimelech's land and as a husband for Ruth. The closer relative refuses. He doesn't want to jeopardize his own inheritance or share in an inheritance to save Elimelech's. 4:6. So he tells Boaz to redeem him himself. Boaz then redeems Elimelech's land, 4:9, and he marries and redeems Ruth to perpetuate the descendants' inheritance. By Levirate law, and this was kind of interesting, I had read this once before and had kind of forgotten about it, but in Deuteronomy 25:5-10, it required a close relative of the deceased to redeem or to buy back the brother's property and to marry his widow in order to continue that family line so that it might not die out. But unlike Naomi, Boaz had no obligation whatsoever under the law to redeem Ruth. He chose to do that. So the elders present praise God and ask his blessing upon the union. That's in 4:11 and 12. And then God blesses that union with a son named Obed. The book concludes with the descendants of Boaz and Ruth. Ruth bore a son, Obed. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David. And if you continue the lineage in Matthew, the first chapter, you'll find that it goes all the way down to Christ. And I might mention, too, that the same Boaz that's in here is a son to another very famous woman in the Bible that we read about, and that is Rahab. So, we know that Ruth and Naomi had a very special relationship. Let me read that for you. Ruth 1:16-17. Entreat me not to leave you. This is what Ruth is telling Naomi. Or to turn back from following you. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Ruth had absolutely nothing to gain by following Naomi, but she chose to do so because of her love and her compassion, and because of her obvious love and compassion and her belief in God. Now, how about us today? Under the same circumstances, knowing the hardships that a widow would face without a redeemer in Israelite society, if that were us, would we have the same dedication and loyalty to help someone in need as Ruth did? Just a question. As mentioned, Ruth and Naomi were redeemed by Boaz because of Boaz's love and compassion for Ruth and Naomi and his relationship to Elimelech. Boaz married Ruth and bought back all of his Elimelechs in order to perpetuate an heir for the family and to retain the family land. His love was demonstrated because he was not the closer relative and certainly had no obligation to redeem Ruth. Today, we're redeemed by the blood of Christ, and God's love for us is demonstrated through his promises to us. If you would flip over to Ephesians 1, we're going to be looking at 5 through 14. "He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after his counsel, after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory." Consider the contrast between Naomi and Ruth's redemption and ours. Theirs was a flesh and blood, material redemption that guaranteed family land would be retained, and that an heir would be generated that would inherit the land. Ours is the guarantee of adoption as sons of God and the guarantee of an inheritance of eternal life with God. There are some similarities, though. As Ruth was not of the bloodline of Jews and was redeemed, so we who are not of a particular bloodline are redeemed by Christ. It's open to all. But how much greater is the inheritance between the physical inheritance and between what we have as a spiritual inheritance? Ruth's great faith in God and obedience to him is evidence, as we read earlier. "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me.'" Because of her faith and obedience to God, he blessed her with redemption by a kinsman redeemer and with a son, Obed, who is a direct ancestor to Jesus, as given in Matthew 1. And what a wonderful honor to bestow upon that marriage. How is our faith? Are we as obedient and as trusting in God as Ruth was? We've examined several points in our study of Ruth and compared them to Christian life today. We've examined loyal love, we've looked at belief and obedience to God, and we've talked some about redemption. Like I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of lessons that can be brought from this book, and this short lesson, and it is a very short lesson this evening, will not cover them all. I'd invite you to read that book and draw your own conclusions, and just understand the beauty in the book of loyalty and love and the story of redemption. So, that does kind of conclude the lesson that I had for this evening. Like I said, it's pretty short. I wish it would have been longer, but Ruth kind of speaks for itself. So, that does kind of conclude it, but I would ask, how's your relationship this evening with God? Have you accepted God's greatest gift that He's given to mankind? And maybe you have some needs that you would like the congregation to help you with and pray for you with. And I guess I would ask that if you do have some kind of problem, would you be willing to come forward tonight and bring that problem with you? And that does conclude the lesson. So we'll stand and sing with Brent.